Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. I'm Douglas Mpoga. This evening, we talk about France's Africa Reset. And with us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, Managing Editor, TV English Africa. Vincent, welcome back to the show once again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You're very much welcome. And joining us from Durban, South Africa, is regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. Welcome to the show, Suleiman.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're very much welcome. As I said, tonight we'll talk about France's Africa Reset. President Emmanuel Macron has outlined a fresh chapter in French-Africa relations with calls for massive economic support for Africa and recent visits to Rwanda and South Africa. But there are thorny problems in France's former colonies, mainly in Mali, Mali, which is buffeted by its fifth coup since independence from Paris in 1916, and the second in less than a year. To the east, Chad is also unsettled by a controversial political transition followed by the April death of long-standing leader Idriss Déby. Both countries are key allies in France's counter-terrorism operations in the Sahel. France actually is reimagining its relationship with Africa, especially its former colonies. Let me begin with Vincent here. How do you look at France's renewed interest in Africa?
Well, what I think when I observe how France has recently been readjusting or rejigging its engagement with African countries, its former colonies, and even others, is that I see China as a great reason why France is actually waking up. You know, China has incited a kind of a new scramble for Africa, for all the Western nations. See, the West has always engaged with the continent, but because of the colonial past, there was a sort of autopilot mode because that relationship was guaranteed. And that's why some years back when Rwanda broke off with France, in as much as that was an important relationship, France didn't seem to be too desperate to, reconnect with Rwanda. But in the last few years, we've seen China getting, more and more into in very, very strong relationship with African countries, regardless of their colonial past. And I think that has made some of these Western nations start looking at reassessing their own relationship and the strength and health of those relationships. And France is not exempt from that. And so you can see it's kind of trying to do more in West Africa, in its former colonies, whether it be Mali or Chad, any of those former colonial territories. It's trying out to do a little more. But the Rwanda relationship has been kind of a very interesting, very special, especially coming also after a report came out and clearly implicated France in the genocide of 1994, which, of course, Rwanda has for all those years insisted, that France needs to own up to its part of to the role that it's played in that genocide. Now, to get to a point where the president of France actually goes to Rwanda, literally apologizes for the past sins, and wants to, re-engage and re-energize the relationship with Rwanda, tells you that the Western nations, France as one of them, are kind of now very desperate to really regain and maintain control and influence in the African on the African continent, and especially so, each of them looking at their former colonies. They don't want to lose grip of that, which it can easily be lost, especially now that African nations have started to look elsewhere. They've started to look east. And so to begin with, that is what I see as being a major catalyst in France actually trying to do more to re-engage with African countries.
Suleiman, do you see also where France is coming in to take its quote-unquote share of its African bread?
Yes. I do concur with Vincent that there is a recasting of relations from France. In addition to the visit in South Africa and Rwanda, this may also, France has just had the France-Africa summit, in which it invited about 30 leaders from Europe, representatives from the financial institutions of IMF, World Bank, gathered them in France, members of the G7, members of the G20, in a conference which they had dubbed as a conference meant to provide, to look for financing, which will mitigate the economic impact, the impacts of COVID-19. Of course, before even the conference, on the sidelines, it had generously given Sudan $5 billion as a bridging loan to pay the IMF. It also convinced countries like United Kingdom and the USA and Germany also to provide funds whereby they would reduce the debt of Sudan, which is around $60 billion, so in an attempt to help Sudan. So you could see, even in the conference, it went ahead to try to influence African countries to show good willingness to assist the countries, provide funds through the IMF. All that one is an attempt, as Vincent has said, to recast its relationship. As Vincent has said, the bottom line is, since 1884, the paramount interest of the European countries as far as the resources of Africa are concerned have never been diminished. It only changes seasons, it only changes wording, but the bottom line has been, up to now, the appetite for the resources of Africa has never diminished. In the 1990s, after the collapse of the Cold War and the collapse of the Soviet Union, there was a pretension that they had switched to democratic rules. The African countries were now democratizing. Then they brought in the IMF and World Bank to assist the economies. But that one did not stop the appetite for resources. Instead, again, it spurred the more. It was a covert attempt still to continue taking of, or I wouldn't like to call it looting, to their transfer of resources from Africa to Europe. This time, it came into another form. We had that privatization. Many African resources were taken. Then came the various loans, which have become enslaving loans to Africa. So in the process, as Vincent has said, China also joined in the scramble for Africa. So as France, as Vincent has said, it has been that China has been moving at a fast speed. That is why even France now, it seems, has come in with so many programs, as you've said, visiting Rwanda, then you have got to the conferences, and so on and so forth. So really, at the bottom of it, we are seeing France recasting itself, but just consolidating, trying to hold its former spheres of influence, trying to consolidate them, and then to get more, especially from the African emerging economies like South Africa, like Kenya. It is pushing overtures there to see that it can also have a pie, as you have said, on the resources of Africa.
Resources and promises of economic aid aside, there are some analysts who saw this as controversial. For instance, Macron went to Rwanda. He went further than his predecessors, acknowledged France's blame for past injustices. But other people point out he was there, and he is now dealing with somebody being described as increasingly authoritarian. I'm referring to Paul Kagame in Rwanda. When in Chad, Macron was the only Western leader to attend Dabe's funeral, and Paris initially seemed to endorse the military council that took over after Dabe's death, and which is now headed by his son. What message does it send to the rest of the continent? Let me begin with this, and I then come to you, Suleiman.
I don't think France has ever been apologetic about supporting, leaders who may be perceived or actually be undemocratic. France has, in fact, been involved in coups that, brought in people that they wanted to have in power. France is known to have been involved in, political upheavals or even suppression of democratic processes if the person they want in power, has to be there. They have done whatever they have to do. You just need to go through all those former French colonies in West Africa and also look at even the past history of countries like the DRC and look at what's been going on in Mali, look at what's been going on in Chad. And in fact, the list is endless when it comes to France and its former colonies especially. So I don't think Kagame is the worst of the leaders that France has engaged with. However far back you go, France has worked with sometimes some of the worst dictators on the continent of Africa, has actually supported regimes that were very oppressive and corrupt in most of the French countries, former French colonies. So, for example, in West Africa, whether you talk about Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso, all those countries, if you speak to the ordinary citizens, they always have a problem with the France. They always say France has interfered with their democratic systems, and France has supported leaders that were not necessarily the choice of the citizens, that were oppressive to the citizens, that were corrupt and were not doing, were not helping the countries to advance. So for me, I wouldn't even think too much into, why is France engaging with, say, the president of Rwanda. I don't think he's the worst of the people that they have engaged with in their history. So, I mean, that's all I can say regarding that particular point.
Suleiman?
That is the problem which African countries have failed, especially the leadership have failed to understand. They have failed to understand that there is no further Christmas in Europe or in international countries. Our relations are not best. They are not best to make Africa better. They are based on the interests of the European countries. Macron is not coming. At the bottom line, he's not coming to make African countries do better. He's coming to consolidate his relationship. He's coming to consolidate the interests of France. The interests of France in Africa. That is why he goes out of his way to talk with crude dictators like Kagame, crude dictators elsewhere on the continent, because at the bottom of it, he wants trade, he wants resources. That is why in all these overtures, they have not talked about the real issues that can stimulate development in Africa. Africa has got issues. The people of Africa are faced with these issues. If Macron was sincere in all his engagements, he should have talked about trade market access, debt relief, good governance, ending of corruption, creating of employment, improving of the health systems in Africa, education systems in Africa. But you can see when he comes, those are peripheral issues as far as they are concerned, which means he has not, the deep issues are not shown, which is that the deep issues are the interests of France. France wants the traditional domination after the scramble after 1884. The interests remain the same. They are still continuing. That is why they go ahead to change leaders. Once a leader does not conform to the status quo, then a coup has to be organized. That is why Vincent is saying they have been involved in changing governments, because they want the status quo. And the status quo is very clear. They want to continue with their grip on the economies of Africa. If you don't do it, then you are not their good friend. If you can do it, even if you massacre as many as possible, even if you are an endemic dictator like the guy in Cameroon or Idris Deby, they are not concerned. What they are concerned most about are their interests.
I see. And for those just joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Tonight, we are looking at France's Africa Reset. Our panelists are my colleague, Vincent Makori, Managing Editor, TV English to Africa, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst. Gentlemen, there are some analysts have pointed out that Macron, he's going beyond the old Africa-France relationship. For instance, he went out last time, he turned to Anglophone countries like Rwanda and South Africa by visiting them. He also organized a special donors conference on Sudan, another country outside Paris's traditional sphere of influence, and announced plans to cancel Khartoum's $5 billion bilateral debt. Is he being more ambitious, or what does it say?
Well, it certainly is being more ambitious, and that's why I keep thinking this has been really incited by the Chinese. This is more like a new scramble for Africa. Decades, the former colonies, the former colonial powers kind of respected each other's as spheres of influence. They all understood that, you know, if it's France, you deal with the countries that you colonized. If it is Britain, you deal mostly with the countries you colonized. Even when they interacted to some degree with countries that were never within their colonial sphere, they did that respectfully in a way that they did not engage too much. That's why we have, for example, the Commonwealth, the Commonwealth countries that literally are still, loyal to the crown, still loyal to the colonial master to some degree. And the France had its own Francophone kind of grouping of countries. But now what China has done, China has come and kind of shaken up this former stable relationships by getting into every one of the African countries, regardless of their colonial past. And the Western nations are seeing a threat. They're seeing a threat in that China is becoming the more influential country across the continent, regardless of the colonial past. And they do not want to lose their influence. They do not want to lose their grip. They want to try and maintain, but also expand. So the Chinese have taught France and others that you don't have to stay with the traditional relationships that were based on the past colonial history. You can actually expand. You can also reach out to other countries. If China can reach out to all these other countries, you can also do so. It's like now we are recasting, if I may use that expression, relationships with the continent of Africa. It's a new scramble for Africa, and every Western nation is trying to see how much more can they get, how much more of these relationships can they build now in one way to counter China's influence, but also to get their share, because of course, Africa remains the continent with the resources that the world needs, and as well as the continent of the future, the continent of the present and the future. And every country, every power in the world wants a piece of Africa.
Suleiman?
Surely, because you will realize that for the first for the last 10 years, the situation has been exacerbated by the conditions in Europe. For example, the Brexit somehow disorganized the British, and they became loose. Then in the U.S., the coming to power of Trump, Trump had almost a laissez-faire policy towards Africa. That relaxation of the grip of the Commonwealth by the British, and then the laxation from the U.S. due to the change of government, gave room to the Chinese to interfere into the traditional spheres of influence from these international countries, as Vincent has said. Whereas, as Vincent has said, none of the countries would like to lose the spheres of influence, because up to now, every country wants the minerals from Africa, the wood from Africa, everything you can think of which is so lucrative and which they get cheaply because of the skewed policies of the dictatorial leaders on the continent. So having seen the way China was moving around the continent, France woke up and said it had to take that opportunity. Otherwise, sincerely speaking, it said when they were in the France-African summit, it called its move, it dubbed its move, a new deal for the African countries. But when you look deeply, what was in that new deal? There isn't much in that new deal. It is only a new deal in words. Otherwise, nothing fundamental which came out of that very, very conference. Everything which they are talking about is what has been talked about by other powers. For example, countries in West Africa, Macky Sall was saying this is a new deal because now we are recasting our relationship. We are going to move from where the international countries dictate policies to us, but we are now going to draw our own policies and we are going to work in partnership with them. There is nothing new about that one. Even Obama propagated the same policies where he said we want a partnership with Africa, we want to deal as partners, as equal partners. This is the same thing, only recasting the relationship as Vincent has said. So I think overall we can say France is coming in vigorously because the interests were being threatened by China. France, like any other powers, like the British, like the other international countries, they want the resources of Africa, and the resources of Africa are still available. So long as the resources are still available and so long as the appetites are not yet satiated, they are going to scramble for it, though they come in different forms. But the main aim remain the same, to have a pie on Africa.
But what, gentlemen, we're about to wind up, but lastly, what does this say about Africa and countries? Because you have the Franc Africa Summit, the China Africa Summit, the United States, some of the leaders, they come to Washington, the Europeans are doing the same. Unlike in the past where it was a pure divide between East and West, which was based on ideology, this one I think is based on more on opportunism. Vincent.
Oh, of course, yes. And you have to remember, that's why I have to go back to China all the time. I can't take you back to the exact year right now, but I remember that it was China that first had an Africa summit, summoning all the African leaders to Beijing. And all the African presidents trooped to Beijing to be lectured by the premier of China. And then that is after that, then we saw the U.S. under Bush also welcome African leaders to Washington, and that was picked up. So you can see what China has done. It has really awakened, this new kind of scramble for the continent of Africa. And then when you look at the African continent, what do? They have no say in any of these things. When they get summoned, they go. When they just need to ask, when are we supposed to be there? Whether it be Paris or Washington or in Beijing. And Beijing has made this, actually this conference is very, very frequent. So what we say about the African continent, what we can say about the African continent is that it has remained as the same as it has it was many, many decades ago, where it does not have a say in what the Western agenda is regarding the continent. The African president, the African leaders just endorse and take whatever they're given. And in a way, they're just so grateful that all these countries are summoning them without regard to how much the continent is losing and what control the continent can have over its own future. Our future, the continent of Africa, the future of the continent of Africa is being determined by external forces, both East and West.
I see, Suleiman, briefly.
Douglas, giving Africa political independence, was given, but economic independence remained. Then came the structural adjustment programs. They further weakened. They took out everything economically. They disempowered the African countries and the African leaders. After that disempowering, the African leaders became foremen of the international countries because the economies were deeply weakened by the structural adjustment programs. After that, they are just foremen. They just have to listen. They don't have a backbone. They are just getting loans and loans and loans. That is why they can be swung in any condition, because the economies are so weak, they don't have a backbone to stand on their own. The only countries remaining standing are countries like South Africa, which have got solid economies. Those ones, you cannot sway them anyhow. Otherwise, the other ones, which were deeply weakened, the way Vincent has said, it is not different from the time when we are colonized. We are still economically very, very weak, and we dance to the tune of those who support us.
Well, gentlemen, let's keep monitoring what happens with more. We shall see more of Dash Africa Summit, and our leaders are very good at attending those summits, and I don't know whether it helps them or not. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. That wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my colleague, Vincent Macori, Managing Editor, TV English to Africa. Vincent, thanks much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome. And thanks to Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Suleiman, thanks as usual.
It is always a pleasure.
You're very much welcome. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that you can hear our roundtable on the internet. All you have to access it is going to our main website at voanews.com. Click on programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Mpuga.
I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, the reparations debate. Should descendants of slaves be compensated for the free labor their ancestors were forced to render during slavery? We talk with two analysts who spar over the renewed push for reparations in America and discuss some contemporary experiments taking place in states and cities across the country. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America. Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Coming up, a conversation with Noreen Fink about the QAnon conspiracy, which posits that the world is run by a global elite of Satan-worshipping pedophiles. How much damage can this domestic terror movement cause both at home and abroad? Next on Press Conference USA, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.